Welcome back to the Westwolf Podcast. I am your host, J.D. Jackson. As always, you can find me on Twitter, J.D. Jackson at Always and Forever Art, and on YouTube at J-Rock Soccer and Basketball Sessions. Guys, the Los Angeles Clippers lose what was one of the most exciting games I've watched in a very long time. 176-175 versus the Sacramento Kings. It was a lot of fun. Russell Westbrook's debut was ruined by a 1-point L, but I was encouraged about the things that I saw, and I'll talk about some of the things I can think they can be better at right here on the Westbrook Podcast. But first, guys, I have to ask you, please hit that subscribe button. I'm on all the major podcast platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio Public, Audible, CastBox, and much, much more. So please hit that subscribe button. Let's get it. Los Angeles Clippers lose the most exciting game of the season that I've watched, in my opinion, 176-175. Neither team could just miss. The Sacramento Kings, they shot 18-41 from three for 43%. They shot 58% from the field, 65 of 111 shots. And then the Los Angeles Clippers, 26-45 from three. I mean, they shot 57% from three, 59-98 from the field, with 60% from the field. Guys, these two teams, they just couldn't miss. I mean, even the Clippers shot 86% from the free throw line, and the Sacramento Kings, I believe they shot 80% from the free throw line. So this was just a game where the second-ranked offense of the Sacramento Kings met the offense of the Los Angeles Clippers, plus their new addition of Russell Westbrook, and this is what you got. It was two overtimes, but I promise you, even during regulation, it just looked like these two teams could not miss. It was a ton of fun. Now, we'll break down. The first thing I want to talk about is I really do believe that the trio, as you will, the big three of Russell Westbrook, Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George will work. It looks like it'll work. They're not ball dominant players, and Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and they were just, you know, letting Russell Westbrook feed him. I think there was a point in the fourth quarter where, I believe it was the fourth quarter, where Russell Westbrook had two consecutive assists to Kawhi Leonard, and then a third to Paul George out above the break on the right. It was just beautiful to watch. They catch, shoot, money, back down the court to play defense, and so I think it really, really will work. I will talk about Russell Westbrook first. He was in his debut, 39 minutes. Look, I thought he played really well, in my opinion. You know, he had, let me see his stats. He had 17 points on the night, 14 assists, 5 rebounds, 7 of 13 from the field. So he shot efficiently. You know, he was 1 of 4 from 3. His 3 misses were like in and out. I thought he had good rhythm. I think he chose his shots really well. So I have no complaints. He hit a big 3. The one he hit was a big one late. I was very happy for him. It was the first overtime, and he's just a big shot maker. It might have been the second overtime, I can't remember. But he made a big one late, and that's the one that he laced up. He fouled out in the second OT on what I thought was a bogus call. I do believe, by the way, if Russell Westbrook closes this game, I understand Paul George is on a minutes restriction. I think if they had Paul George and Russ, I definitely think they win this game easily in the waning moments, but if they just had Russell Westbrook with Kawhi out there, I think the Clippers win this basketball game. Like, he's a clutch player. He's someone you want to close with because he's been doing it for a long time. A bogus 6 foul, I didn't think it really was, leads to him being fouled out. So he didn't get the win in his debut. Let's talk about his turnovers, right? Because that's everyone's favorite thing, right? He had 7 turnovers. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything, guys. 7 turnovers is too many for Russell Westbrook in his debut. However, you guys know how I am. The why and what did it lead to is what I'm worried about, correct? Well, he had 3 offensive fouls. And for those of you that maybe don't know, those count as turnovers. Now, I say that not to be funny, because sometimes people box score watch and they see 7 turnovers. They don't even think about what kind of turnovers they are. So I'm not sure everyone knows that. I'm being serious. I'm not trying to be funny. But those count as turnovers. He had 3 of them, I believe, in this game. So they're not live ball turnovers, because the ones we don't want to see at all are live ball turnovers, correct? Those are the ones where, like, this is actively hurting the basketball game. Well, he had 4 of those if you take away the offensive fouls, which means, really, when it comes into the realm of play, he had 14 assists, Not really. He had seven. But if you take that away, it's 14 assists to four live ball turnovers. That's something you can live with. That's a very good ratio. It's 3.5 to one. And so, I'm good with it. If that was the case, it's too many turnovers, seven. He's got to clean up those offensive fouls. I didn't think one of them was, but it is what it is. Clean up the offensive fouls, clean up the turnovers. And this is a great game by Russell Westbrook. I thought he was really good in his debut, guys. It's only going to get better. So, I'm just pointing out things that I think could have done better and where I thought he was great. I thought he was great at picking his spots and going to the rim. He was very upset because he missed one of the layups. But I love to hear from the Clippers insiders that, they went over there. I think it was Paul George and Robert Covington said, "Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. People miss shots. Let's go. Let's go." And encouraged him. I definitely like seeing that. I like hearing about it. But I think the Clippers win this game if the two of them can close, Paul George and Russell Westbrook. I also want to talk about the defense. I thought Russell Westbrook's passing was great. I thought his pace of the game was outstanding. I thought he was really good in transition and semi-transition, getting the ball to the open players. He was very good. He was one of the reasons why they were able to score so many points. I thought he picked the spots well, things like that. Now, I do think he could have been better at the point of attack out on the perimeter. I actually think that about all of the Clippers guards in this one. I think he could be a little bit better there. And I'm not saying anything outrageous because one of the things Russell Westbrook said in his post game was like, the defense could be better and starting with himself. That's what he said. And so I think he could have been better at the point of attack. And I think he could have been better with the turnovers, like I said, but three of them being offensive fouls. You're only looking at four live ball turnovers, and you want to keep those to a minimum. So I'm saying he was decent. He wasn't great. I'm just not saying like he just threw the ball away seven times like some people are acting on social media. So I thought he was pretty good. Now, Paul George, he was excellent, man. He had a quiet 34 and 50% shooting, 5 of 8 from the 3-point line. He was just outstanding. He was just Paul George. He had 10 rebounds, 5 assists as well. And so, and a steal and a block. So he had 4 turnovers. He had a couple of late. At one point, I think Russ turned it over, and then Paul George turned it over twice late in the game, and that's what allowed for the Sacramento Kings to come back. But guys, those are things that are going to be ironed out. It's their first game together. You could see late that Paul George was definitely like, "Here, take the ball, point guard, and get us in our sets." Now, when Russell Westbrook left, I believe the Clippers were winning 175 and 169, I think it was, or something like that. He made sure he was the point guard. Paul George made sure that he was the point guard. Kawhi made sure Russ was the point guard. They got into their sets. They were up 6. It's kind of the reason why I think if he didn't foul out, like they win this basketball game. I thought he was very good in the closing moments outside of that one turnover he had late, right before Paul George. I thought Paul George was excellent, though. It was very, very good. But you can tell that those are the moments where Paul George, like he said, he wants a point guard. And he backed down. He said, "What we need is exactly what you saw out there." And I thought Paul George was right. And if Russ was out there with Kawhi, they win this. Kawhi Leonard, man, I just wanted to leave him last of the big three. My gosh, that guy's a robot. I know he's not really, but my goodness, he is automatic. 44 points. He only had 2 turnovers. He had 2 blocks, 3 steals, 4 assists, 10 rebounds, 16 of 22 from the field, 6 of 9 from the 3-point line for 66%. Man, he is automatic. The shots that he can make over defenders and just his defense, like everything that he can do, he just does it so great, man. Gosh, he's a phenomenal player. Like, I watch him, and every time I watch him, I just find myself marveling at just how great he is at basketball. Obviously, we want to make sure that he's healthy for the postseason, things like that. So that's why there's the load management and things like that. And I know that can be frustrating for people, but you should use this game as an example of what the hell he can do if he's healthy. And you want that guy healthy and ready with no minutes restriction when it comes playoff time because he is one of the best. He is elite. Another person I wanted to mention, Norman Powell. I thought he was good in this game. He had some times where I thought he was trying to do a little bit too much, but for the most part, I thought he was good at 24 points, 5 of 8 from 3, 6 of 14 from the field altogether. No rebounds. That's something I noticed about him. I guess I'll learn over time if that's the norm for him not to get on the boards at all. But he also had 3 assists, and I thought he was decent. He also had 4 turnovers. So the Clippers, as you can see, had problems with turnovers this game. But I'm encouraged. I think things will get better. Batum at 19 points. I thought he was good. He had 8 rebounds, 2 assists as well, 5 of 10 from 3, 7 of 12 from the field. I thought he was really, really good. If he's been in those corners, he is automatic. I thought that he was good as well. Now, someone I do want to talk about is I didn't think that Marcus Morris Sr. was, I didn't think he was that good in this one. And I'm going to learn about him as we watch more and more Clipper games. I didn't think that he was that good on the defensive side of the floor. And I actually didn't think he was 4-7 from the field with 9 points. I'm sorry, with 9 points and 1 of 2 for 3. But I also didn't think he was that great on the offensive side of the basketball court. Now, the Clippers are so deep. It's not like I'm saying Marcus Morris is trash. I just think with the depth that you have, I didn't think he was giving you enough to warrant that he got the 25 minutes that he did, and Robert Covington didn't get any, or Trey Mann didn't get more. Because of the size of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, like, you don't have to slot Marcus Morris at that position. You can put in Terrence Mann and slide Paul George down to the 3 and Kawhi Leonard down to the 4 and then Plumlee to the 5 and things like that. I just didn't think that what he gave you, he needed to be on the floor for 25 minutes, but Trey Mann only 18, or Robin Covington a DNP. Robert Covington, look, with no Zubac, right? There's no Zubac, so you struggle a little bit with like paint protection and things like that. Look, I know Robert, he's not Anthony Davis or anything like that, or he's not some of those Giannis down there throwing stuff all over the place. But Zubac, he has a certain level of toughness and defense and protection of the paint that they were missing. And so I think that Robin Covington, being like this long person with this 7 foot plus wingspan at 6'7", he tends to usually have quite a few blocks in games that matter and things like that. So I just think he's just good defensively. He's a great help defender. Like, that's what he's great at. I thought he could have been utilized in this game a little bit more, especially because I didn't feel like Robert Covington was giving us I'm sorry, not Robert Covington, that Marcus Morris wasn't giving us a ton on either end of the floor. So that's something that I noticed in this game. And by no means am I saying Ty Lue doesn't know basketball, man. Ty Lue is an elite basketball coach. I think that he's got so much depth that right now, while he's trying to figure things out with these new pieces, because Eric Gordon just got here, Bones Highland, he didn't get to play. You know what I'm saying? And you got Russell Westbrook. So as he learns to integrate these new pieces with Paul George on a minutes restriction and things like that, I'm gonna let him work through it. I'm gonna let him work through it. But I definitely thought that you could have slotted Trey Mann or Robert Covington in there for Marcus Morris and either slid everybody down or put it or made Robert Covington and then left everything and everybody in their respective positions. That wasn't the case. But that's just something that I observed, and I think that they should do. Zubac was definitely missed in this one as well. I don't want to sell that short. Pretty soon he'll be back. People were worried about Marcus Morris playing the 5. Just keep in mind, no Zubac, and so Ty Lue had to kind of play with the lineups a little bit. I expect for Zubac to be the starting point guard, and then I obviously expect for Plumlee to be the backup. So Marcus Morris doesn't have to do that going forward. Largely, guys, I am impressed. The offense was amazing. They were getting out in transition, semi-transition, finding players early and often in rhythm. Paul George said it. That's exactly what they want him to do. And I thought that they fit together very, very well. I think I expected a little bit of like chemistry, growing pains, things like that, because he's got to learn his players. And routinely, Russell Westbrook takes about a month to do that. And Ty Lue spoke about it. I'm sure Russ knows, like, we don't have a month. We have to do this in a hurry. And I thought that they fit together really well. I really do. Like I said, I thought the perimeter defense could have been better. That includes Russell Westbrook at the point of attack. Outside of that, they were humming on offense. My gosh, can this team score? And my gosh, can the Clippers shoot? Now, I don't know. Look, I haven't. I mean, the shooting 57% from the 3-point line is nuts. Just want to point that out. That is insane. I don't know if they're going to keep shooting 60 or 57% from 3, but I'm encouraged with their ability to shoot the basketball, especially with a point guard like Russell Westbrook in town. It is going to be great. And I just want you guys to realize that also Zubac did not play. He's also going to be really great in the pick and roll with Russell Westbrook. And so just keep that in mind. We didn't even get to see that yet. Paul George's minutes restriction, no Zubac. So just keep that in mind. It's only going to get better, guys. This is their first game. This is the first game. Russell Westbrook's debut ruined by the Sacramento Kings and their hot shooting streak. Fox was great. Monk had the game of his life. My gosh, he was on fire. He had 45, 6 of 12 from 3, 15 of 24 from the field. I mean, Monk was just insane. And then De'Aaron Fox had 42. You know, he's D Fox. That's just what he is. You know, he's elite. I'm encouraged, guys. I'm not very worried about the Clippers. They lost to a great team who's the 3 seed, who's been on fire lately. The Sacramento Kings are very, very good. De'Aaron Fox is extremely good at basketball. Sabonis is extremely good. I do want to talk about one gripe I had. Sabonis, for me, he played entirely too long with 5 fouls. I mean, the second he got back in there, I would have went straight to him. That's just me. I don't know. I know he got 20 and 10, and he's 8 of 40. But I know he didn't have 40 like Fox or Monk. But that's the first thing I would have did. First thing I would have done. And then I also, guys, I personally would have fouled late. I know they got the 3 off at the end of regulation to push it to overtime. I personally would have fouled. Like, I don't know what went into the decision by Ty Lue to not do that. Again, I'm not gonna harp on his coaching. I just wanted to point out that that is something I would have done. You allowed them to shoot the 3 and tie the basketball game. I would have fouled at that time. But we move, right? On to the next. So the next game, I believe, is versus Denver on Sunday. Let me make sure. Yeah, Denver Nuggets Sunday. And that should be a lot of fun. The Jokic, the 2-time MVP. Let's see what the Clippers can do against Jokic. That should be a ton of fun. The true triple double king versus the Joker himself. So that should definitely be a lot of fun. It should be a lot of great passing and a lot of scoring in that one as well. So we'll see. I do want to see the Clippers pick up that perimeter defense. That's the key. That's what I'm looking for against the Nuggets versus Murray and players like that. I want to see them pick up that perimeter defense, that perimeter pressure, and see if we can't not let us team score 170 points, you know? So I'm not worried. Look, the Clippers have the 9th-ranked defense in the NBA prior to the game. I haven't checked what they're updated to. Look, the Kings are the second-best offense in the NBA. They do this to everyone. They just fill up the scoreboard. So I'm not discouraged, but I do want to see better perimeter defense from all of the guards, not just Russell Westbrook or not just a certain player. I want to see it from all of them. I do think that that's an area they can improve in. The rhythm is there. The chemistry is there. I can see the vision right now. We don't have time. I think the Clippers now are the 5 seed. Let me check to make sure. I think they dropped in the standings with that loss, but don't quote me on that. Let me make sure that that's right. Yeah, so now they're the 5 seed, but they're just a half game out of fourth, two and a half games out of third, so which is Sacramento Kings. But we got to figure this out. You know, we got to figure this out quick and early so we can get up there, get a home court advantage. And if the Los Angeles Clippers get home court advantage, I think that we are well on our way. This is a championship roster that is on this team right now. It is. But what matters to them right now is the postseason. But they got to take care of business in the regular season, get home court advantage, and then we are on our way. But guys, right here as well, break things. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Westwolf Podcast. I am your host, JD Jackson. As always, you can find me on Twitter, JD Jackson, always and forever art. And on YouTube at J-Rock Soccer and Basketball Sessions. Guys, I really, really appreciate you tuning in, so I must ask, please, please hit that subscribe button. I'm on all the major podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio Public, CastBox, and much, much more. So please, please hit that subscribe button. Guys, the Clippers have a championship team that is deep. They can do this. I will see you all Sunday versus the Denver Nuggets, and then we'll drop another podcast. But as always, until next time.